You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Tuesday, the 11th of March. The Cheltenham Festival for 2020 is underway. The first day is in the books and you are listening to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. Ben Barrett in the presenter's chair, and I'm delighted to say I've been joined by a man of many talents. We've stolen him from the William Hill Racing Radio Studio. You know him from the Racing Post on Sundays or from stand-up comedy. I know him from failing to score past me in the Office Five-a-Side on Monday nights. It is, of course, Ross Briley. How are you, sir?
I think you'll find us. Scored past you twice from approximately 93 attempts.
That's a good. Have you been in better form today picking winners than you were last night scoring goals?
No.
Oh dear.
No. Well, that's not true. At Sedgefield, yeah. I've been rattling them in. Rattling them in at Sedgefield.
There's always one.
But this is the thing. I started saying this morning, I thought, well, I quite like Cheltenham's car today, and I fancy a couple at Southall. And so far, I've had seconds and thirds galore at those places. But the ones at Sedgefield, you went. Where I kind of went, oh, yeah, that's got a good figure. That'll probably run well. I've gone on to score. So there is a sense occasionally of paralysis by analysis, isn't there? Especially on the first day of a festival.
A little bit, yes.
You get a bit, people do tend to get carried away and they go, I've spent all day looking at this first day. And then you kind of get to Thursday and they're like, well, I've burnt myself out, actually.
Yeah, burnt myself out, spent money, done, dusted. We'll just have a go on whatever we can find.
Exactly.
We are going to talk about the Grade 1 results from today, but I just want to kind of get your overall feeling a little bit. Firstly, I want to say, is this, for you, one of those days, a lot of people talk of it like being Christmas Day for punters. Is that how you feel about Cheltenham Festival? Is it that high class for your punters and people like yourself in the industry?
Yes, I guess it is. Yeah. It's a weird one. I mean, for me, it is... the light at the end of a dark winter tunnel.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's how I see it, because I much prefer flat racing over jumps. So the long, endless weeks of heavy ground frustration.
Yeah.
That's what it signifies for me. It's like, oh, finally, some good horses on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
Because during the flat season, you know you've got a midweek festival every couple of weeks, really,
yeah,
haven't you?
Yeah.
So for me, it's that kind of thing. I don't know. It's a mixture of, you know, we're sorting the wheat from the chaff, but also, you know, I get to consistently get into that grade of analysing decent horses rather than, like you said, trying to pick the best of a bad bunch.
The question I was going to ask regarding today, actually, you touched on it there, the heavy ground. The jockeys are coming off of horses today and saying that it's really, really testing.
Yeah.
Heavier, than maybe the official going is suggested. Is that how you've seen the races playing out today?
It's looked difficult.
It has, hasn't it?
And I think the most notable thing is the strong travellers are getting beat. And that's the thing. So many times over the winter, you see horses who are travelling like an absolute dream in testing ground. But those who are in a rhythm and are just grinding and ploughing through it tend to come out on top. And that's been pretty much the case today. And it's been difficult to make up ground. It's just been, you know, it's a kind of one mistake and you're
done.
That's it, kind of thing. Which is Cheltenham to an extent.
Well, you want that at the highest level.
You do.
Of any sport, of any sort of coming together of the best of the best.
Yes, absolutely. You want those who bring their A game on the day to succeed.
We're going to talk about some of the finishes, but I also want to mention the starts of the races, because they've been the feeling amongst the officers at times a little bit farcical. What's going on?
It's been a bit. I mean, it's been perfect. They've been aiming for perfection. When it's been perfectly fine. I could understand that, because it's first race, everyone's very keen to get on with it. You've got novices as well, and they were a bit like, oh, here we go. But I didn't think there was anything wrong with the other false starts, and it is a bit sort of, you're asking for too much, really. And it's put horses on the back foot. Like, for example, Not So Sleepy was lined up at the front. It seemed like a reasonable start for the champion hurdle. Suddenly, that horse has lost all position and is starting from the back. And it was the same for Global Citizen in the Arkle. It was these connections of horses who are going to look back and go, well, we were in the right position, and then we've gone back for a standing start, and it's become... It's completely scuppered us. So yeah, I'd be very frustrated if I was the connections of a horse who had everything in there, had a game plan, and then it fell apart because of those the starter trying to be too clever.
Frustration, that's the right word, I think, when it comes to some of this. Let's talk about a few of the finishes then. The first one, the race, the Supreme Shishkin, Abracadabras and Chantry House, your 1-2-3. Doesn't quite tell the story though. It was an absolutely cracking finish. Shishkin getting the nod at 6-1.
This is the last flight. Abracadabras and Davy Russell still sitting pretty. Shishkin has moved to challenge, is in second place. Chantry House is in third as they come to the last. Abracadabras by only a neck. Shishkin in second position, putting in a big challenge. These are clear from Chantry House. Abracadabras under pressure, the closing stages. Shishkin being lifted out the far side by Nigella Boyville. It's very tight between them.
What did you make of this race?
Well, I mean, for a start, my first strong opinion of the festival was that Abracadabra was should have been favourite and was had the best pieces of form and was the one to beat. So the fact that it's got chinned by Shishkin was a pretty frustrating start to it. However, I think time will tell that we got beat by a very, very good horse. No other horse to have won today has made up any considerable ground, really. And again, I'm just watching the replay just to back up my opinion, but Shishkin came from a long way back.
It did.
He was a bit keen early on.
Yeah.
He's had to circle the entire field. He's been, I mean, he's just narrowly avoided carnage in front. He looks, I mean, I want to see him jump a fence next year. I think he'll make a cracking Arkle contender next season. So, but he's the only one today who I think has won in spite of how the race, I mean, I didn't even notice how badly hampered he was by the faller.
Incredibly badly hampered. Three or four of them were.
Yeah. That is performance of the day for me.
Well, that was going to be my very, very next question. We're going to mention some of the others that have come forward, but do you take Shishkin out of today more than any other horse
Absolutely.
Going forward?
Absolutely. I think you've got to. I mean, he's beat a strong Supreme field. He was inexperienced. He'd only won two, you know, fairly modest events where you got the feeling that he'd been running at, what, 80% perhaps. So it's like he could be very, very good. We just don't know it. The reason I was with Abracadabra was we know this horse is a grade one horse and he was overpriced. But Shishkin, yeah, I mean, I think they'll go in completely different. Well, maybe Abracadabra's got the scope, but I think Abracadabra is a really strong travelling 2-miler, but Shishkin could be a little bit better. And yeah, I think that back end stamina and that physical scope over fences next year is going to be very exciting.
Let's scoot forward 40 minutes then. The Arkle we've touched on once or twice. Put the kettle on at 16-1. Beat Fakir du Derry into second. Rouge Vive took third.
Fakir du Derry, though, is staying on very stoutly. Beginning to erode the deficit. Put the kettle on by only a half length. Fakir du Derry is still closing. But Put the Kettle On is plucky and she simply will not be denied. And it's the mare, Put the Kettle On, who takes the racing post, Arkle. Fakir du Derry second. It's going to be very close for third between Rouge Vif and Global Citizen. Al Dancer and Notebook were the next ones home.
16-1 winner. Big price for the winner in this race. What did you make of the second at Cheltenham?
The second race or the second horse?
Either.
Well,
either.
Yeah. Well, because in terms of the second race, I think it was a bit farcical. The start was a bit farcical because what looked like a race that was going to be a burn-up, you had five confirmed front runners and three of them were scuppered by the start and didn't get to the front. So, you know, Global Citizen, Rouge Vith was held up as well a little bit more, Mari Banrai. So you ended up with basically cash back and Put the Kettle On being able to set the fractions themselves. That said, Put the Kettle On has still managed to pull out enough to beat Fakir du Derry, who's had the perfect run through. But that extra bit of stamina that Put the Kettle On, that course form, there was just a couple of extra things that meant that Hemi de Bronhead's runner pulled out plenty in the finish. I don't know. Notebook disappointing. I don't know if that false start maybe lit him up a bit more than it looked physically. I don't know. I thought it was an odd race. I'm a bit on the fence whether it was a good renewal again. I need to go back watch it back, but it seemed messy to me.
Yeah.
That said, the winner's only been beaten once over fences, and like I said, was in a fantastic position throughout, which is what we will see in particular over fences today. The three winners so far, we're speaking before the
final, not four miler,
have all been in the van. They've all been in good prominent positions, and they're jumping, and the ability to kick on at the bottom of the hill has won the race. So I'm on the fence for the Arkell.
Let's talk about the champion hurdle then. 3:30 Epatant, 2-1 favourite, beat Sharjah 16-1. Dava Star took third at 17-2.
Jump in the champion hurdle. It's Dava Star in the centre who's come through the lead, but Epatant covers the move. Here's Sharjah down the near side, joining in the final flight. Epatant jumped to the front, goes on by a length from Dava Star. Sharjah now launching his challenge on the near side, halfway up the running. Epatant is in front, and she's not for catching. Driven out by Barry Geraghty. It's a birthday winner for JP McManus as Epatant shakes the champion hurdle, and it's a record-breaking festival success for Nicky Henderson. Sharjah was back in second, followed home in third by Dava Star, and in behind these the likes of Silver Streak, Petit Mouchoir and Silos Emery, who were all fighting out the placings.
Worthy favourite, worthy winner.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It looked, quote-unquote, a bad champion hurdle. But actually, it's ended up being an exciting race, and the form horses have come to the fore. Again, though, Epatant, great ride, perfect positioning. If you could pick where your horse was going to be running, you would pick, you know, slap bang in behind the front runners, but with cover either side. You're getting that slipstream into it. You've got enough space to be able to see your hurdles, though. You're not being crowded at any point. Epatant was in the perfect position throughout. But that still meant she had to go and kick on at the right time and pull out plenty. Sharjah, who's, you know, got a couple of fantastic Grade 1 wins on his card, was back to his very best and travelled like the best horse. Dava Star was well positioned. I fancied Kilos Emery to run a big race. He didn't hurdle as well as to be expected. And I think that's the key thing. Epatant is just, she was slick, she was fast at her hurdles, but she also pulled that extra in the final furlong. So, absolutely, worthy winner. She'll be back next year, and she'll be seven. So she'll be physically peaking. She'll have that win on her card. And, you know, it's trying to work out what's actually going to challenge her. Because if we think, for example, Shishkin is going to go over fences, what have you got? You've probably got Abracadabra as the only one coming out of the novice
team. To take on Epatant next year. It'd be fascinating to see how that goes. I mean, we're already talking 12 months away.
But But in terms of... I'm not looking at that performance and crabbing it in any way.
Yeah.
Everything, the money was down as well, which suggested that she clearly maybe even improved since Kempton.
Everything
went to plan, but she put it to bed very comfortably.
The final Grade 1 then was the 4:10, the Close Brothers Mares Hurdle. Honeysuckle beat Benny De Dieu, 4-6 favourite, overturned into second place. Elfiel at 16-1 came third. Another cracking finish, Honeysuckle holding off the late charge of Benny De Dieu. It really was a blinding finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm just going to watch it back again, because obviously there's been some high profile stick for the riders on Stormy Island, the Benny De Dieu. You know, about Robbie Power coming off the fence and Paul Townend letting Honeysuckle get first run, and watching it again, yeah, you're right. Stormy Island sets the pace but doesn't necessarily turn it into a proper stamina test, which would have suited Benny De Dieu, and then comes off the rail and almost brings Benny De Dieu even wider, which meant Honeysuckle just has a dream run against a horse who's never lost a race and stays the trip and was given the pitch perfect ride again. That perfect position, kicking on at the bottom of the hill. So I can see, you know, I can see the frustration if you follow from the Mullins camp, that how things have gone against you when in theory they were there to be exploited. But she's such a tough mare again. 6 years old versus 9 years old as well. That up and comer against the horse who essentially sets the standard. Yeah, I thought it was a cracking finish, and probably one of the most popular winners on the week, I imagine, because she's got a real fan club.
Yeah, you're right. And it's trying to describe today, it's been a day of drama, it's been a day of frustration, it's been a day of what ifs, it's been a day of but maybe we didn't see the best, and that kind of all adds to it, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, but you say, like I said, the Arkell's, I need to watch it back, I'm not sure about the Arkell, but Shishkin, Epatante and Honeysuckle,
three class performances,
absolutely top class horses with top class performances. And you know, Shiskin was 6-1 on the day, but was being Antipo's favourite for weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
So it's not like the you've been surprised by the market. So yeah, there is an air of maybe the heavy ground and the starts and things like that have put an air of frustration for people a little bit. But at the end of the day, mostly the right horses have come to the fore.
I wonder if we're going to get the same kind of drama and class tomorrow on Wednesday. We're going to talk about a few of the races taking place on Wednesday now. A little bit of news to bring you. Richard Johnson was stood down for the day today after falling on brewing up a storm in the Arkle. All signs are that he should be back tomorrow for a couple of rides that he has got at Cheltenham. So good news that Richard Johnson should be absolutely fine. The other news from tomorrow's racing, we'll talk on it probably slightly more later, but Altior is out of the Queen Mother Champion Chase. We'll get to that race in just a little minute with Ross. We're going to start, however, with the first grade one. It's the 130, the opener of the day. It's the Ballymore Envoy Allen, 4-6 favourite, sporting John, 7-2, 8-1, the big getaway, the big breakaway, 17-2, and 14-1 bar. It's a very, very short price for an opener. Is it justified, Ross?
I mean, the fact that it should be a very short price. 4-6 is getting very short now, to be fair. But, I mean, the Ballymore, traditionally over the last few years, is a weakened race.
Okay.
It's the middle ground, isn't it? It's, you know, the proper stayers go for the Albert Bartlett, and the Supreme is always... If you might have a Ballymore horse, you should go for the Supreme, because that extra stamina will see you through. So it does end up being a frustrating middle ground.
Is that word again?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Well, it is, I suppose, in a sense of, yeah, it is a bit when you want every race to be a proper championship matchup of the best versus the best. So, but Envoy Allen is a cracking horse. I mean, form Frank left, right and centre, beat Abacadabra comfortably at Fairy House. That's been Frank. I mean, Elixir Denea, second last time, Matt was running a big race when bumped by Asterion for Lange. The bumper form, obviously, from last year is rock solid. There shouldn't be a problem over this extra furlong. You know, it's only one extra furlong, and if anything, it was pulling out even more as it went away at Nace last time out. I'm not entirely convinced about the big horses, the big getaway and the big breakaway. I think their form has to be improved. And, you know, there's not that much to get overly excited about at bigger prices. So, given how it is in the market, I mean, you could have had a Honeysuckle Sporting John each way double.
Yeah.
It was like absolute thievery, because Sporting John does look like a real genuine challenger. That Ascot figure was very, very strong. Pulled clear of a horse who'd caught the eye, Pipe Smoker, before that, behind Chantry House. So again, all the right form being tied in.
Absolutely.
3 mile point to pointer as well, Sporting John, as was Shiskin. So you're seeing that stamina at the back end of the race. So I think you just got to put Sporting John in all your each ways and absolutely maggot this race to death.
I like that phrase, maggot it to death.
Yeah
that's the way to go. Sporting John in the betting at 7-2, sort of one for the each way accumulators and
each way doubles and trebles. Yeah, absolutely, whatever else you fancy sticks.
Forecast betting if that's the way you want to play, but Envoy Allen is going to be there or thereabouts.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. Okay, that was nice and easy. We're going to scoot forward to the 210. Again, another race. It's the RSA. Manila Indo is 3-1 favourite. This one is slightly more competitive. Champ 100-30, 7-2 for Copperhead. Alaho, which Luke Elder will not stop talking about, is 9-2, 10-1 and bigger the remainder. As I say, far more competitive. Have you got a way to split these three or four at the top of the market?
I used to back in the day like the RSA, but it's a funny race this year, I thought, in terms of lineup, because you've got the Albert Bartlett 1-2 again from last year, Manila Rindo and Alaho, but they haven't had what is or used to be a traditional RSA prep, in the sense that it used to be a bit more of a slog. I don't know if now better horses are going for the staying, the not four miler, therefore leaving this to be a bit more of a genuine fight between the class, because it used to be that a slogger could really come out on top in this. You know, your Boston Angel, Lord Windermere's a few years ago, horses who'd had 3, 4, 5 really testing runs and came here and took full advantage, whereas last year, you know, top of the game Santini were fairly lightly raced actually for for Grade One chasers. So I thought it was a tough one. Copperhead is probably the most interesting. I'm always on the one hand, the Ascot race completely fell apart. On the other hand, he did every single thing right, and he's passed every single test that's come to him so far. I mean, he's got to improve a little bit more. I think the 155 is a bit strong.
It's big.
I think the handicapper's got maybe slightly carried away with that. Alaho, I can definitely see. He's a lightly raced 6-year old who's got a huge amount of physical scope to grow into, and did it very easily at Fairy House last time out. Not a big fan of horses coming in off the back of falls, so Battle Over Doyen and Champa on the back foot. Manello Indo, I can't work this horse out because, this horse looked very lightly raced in the Albert Bartle last year, and you thought, okay, this is a step to a chasing career, and then just kept grinding and grinding.
Yeah.
Then back that form up at Punchestown. Probably edging towards Manello Indo, but I don't know. It's a good race, but I'm struggling to find a strong opinion.
If I gave you one mythical William Hill pound and told you you had to place a bet on this race, I'm going to ask you to nail your mythical £1 to the mast, please, sir.
It would be Manello Indo to place.
That is stingy.
Absolutely.
Stingy. Manello Indo to place the selection out of that race. But that's the sort of race that we can really get involved in, even if we're not necessarily punting on it. We're going to really see a good contest here, aren't
Absolutely,
we?
Absolutely, yeah. Each way double is sporting, John. Absolutely.
The final race we are going to talk about for Wednesday is the Queen Mother Champion Chase. We are down to 6 runners. The aforementioned Altior is out. We were wondering when we were going to get the news. It came earlier on Tuesday morning. Altior non-runner. What that does to the market is as follows. Defi du Soy, 11-10. Chacun Pour Soi, 6-4. 12-1 for Dynamite Dollars. 18s for So Royale. Politologue, 18-1. And Bun Doran at 40-1. Just the 6 to choose from. Is it really just 2 to choose from?
Yeah, I think it absolutely is. And I think it would have been with Altior, if I'm honest.
Okay.
I mean, there's still part of me that thinks he might turn up anyway, given the Henderson travails in the past. But I think, again, it's just one of those years where it seems a bit of a transitional year. So, Altior was going into this as a 10-year-old up against 2 fantastic horses with significantly less miles on the clock. I've backed Defi du Soy at this Earl anti-post. So, again, absolute thievery each way at 3-1 anti-post, thinking this might cut up. So it's worked out well. However, when I was looking at the race this morning in more detail, if I was to back one tomorrow, it would be Chacun Pour Soi.
Okay.
I know he's a year older, but there's less miles on the clock. Really gritty win over Min last time out. Speed figures left, right, and centre. Obviously had the beating of Defi du Soy last season. You've got the course form for Defi du Soy. That's the big thing. Loves it at this track. Raises its game every single time it comes to this this race course. But we just haven't seen as much of Chacun Pour Soi. And there could be more. But again, it's another fantastic matchup. It is Benny Dido versus Honeysuckle all over again. It is that 2 heavyweights taking each other on. It's a shame Altior's not there because just for sporting purposes,
yes.
Obviously the champion being returning to try and defend his crown, but I still think it's a cracking little race.
It is a cracking little race, but you're just going to side with Chacun Pour Soi today.
Yes.
That's 3 of the grade ones taken care of. Is there anything else happening tomorrow at Cheltenham that you'd like to give a quick mention to before we wrap this up?
Obviously we have some lovely handicaps. There's a couple of horses in the Coral Cup interesting me a little bit.
Okay.
Canardier, first start for Willie Mullins, big eye catcher last year, 5th in this race behind William Henry, went all the way down the muck on the inside, and has switched to the Mullins yard and is off a very workable handicap mark. And then there's another Mullins horse as well, Eglantine de Searle, who was 3rd behind Honeysuckle last year at Fairy House. Obviously won the mare's got in up in the Dying Strides to beat Constantista, the mare's novice, that is. Never run a bad race. I catch at Leopardstown when it got going too late last time out. Again, I think I've got it doing 3 of the top 6 speed figures. So 20-1 for Eglantine de Searle would be of interest. So I think Willie Mullins might have a big chance in the Coral Cup.
Ross Briley, thank you so much for looking forward to what promises to be an absolutely brilliant day of action at Cheltenham on Wednesday.
Absolutely. Let's hope it all goes exactly to plan.
That's just the way we like it. Of course, there will be another Daily Racing podcast to download tomorrow. You can join John Gibby, Gary Capewell and Tom Morley from 1 p.m. on William Hill Racing Radio on Wednesday afternoon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.